everyone, welcome to The Great American Bash. My name is Brandon Weatherby. The Great American Bash is a podcast about the intersections of presidential politics and professional wrestling. Co-host and co-author Chris Kelly and I are experts in the field, considering that we're the authors of the book, The Donald, How Trump Turned Presidential Politics into Pro Wrestling. You could find that and pieces that we've written for places like The Washington Post and Slate, Vice, U.S. News and World Reports, and more at presidentwrestler.com. To listen to the newest episode of The Great American Bash, follow us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/GabPod, G-A-B-P-O-D. This episode was originally recorded December 14th, 2016. Here's episode 25 of The Great American Bash.
Do you smell what Barack has cooked?
I'm here to challenge you to a match.
When it comes to standing up for the American people, I am ready to rumble.
I think that we may need a wrestler in the White House.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Great American Bash. My name is Brandon Weatherby.
My name is Chris Kelly.
We are sitting in the home of Tribute to the Troops 2016, Washington, D.C. It's a city in which Ivanka Trump will hold a very special office, typically held by the First Lady. Did you see that today?
No, what is it?
That was the breaking news today. Well, some of the breaking news today, that Ivanka is going to have an office within the White House that is typically reserved for the First Lady.
Yeah, I mean, Melania doesn't need an office.
Yeah, so
that's clear.
All I'm saying is Stephanie and Vince's relationship is perfectly fine. This is a podcast about the intersections of professional wrestling and presidential politics, and it's still relevant.
Yeah, and other people think that too, especially the good people at Slate who let us write a thing. It's called Heel in Chief. Went up on December 9th. Basically about what we've been talking about, using the Linda McMahon news peg. So check that out if you're listening to this and haven't had a chance.
So it is currently Wednesday, December 14th. It's the evening, so inevitably by the time we release this, Tribute for the Troops will have aired.
Yes.
And inevitably something crazy within the transition team will have happened.
Almost definitely.
And it'll all get swept under the rug. And it won't matter. And we'll do this again next week. Because just like professional wrestling, this is a never-ending soap opera.
Yes. And in this week's episode of the soap opera, a couple major stories with the Trump transition. The first one would be that the CIA is now saying that Russian hackers interfered in our election. Things that we did know because Hillary Clinton said them at debates that we watched.
My favorite part of this whole story was when Donald Trump says, why didn't they bring this up before? It's like, this is within the debate. It is so great.
Yeah. I mean, he just says things. We know that, not take him at face value, but is there a new part of it? It's just basically the
catching up part of it. Yeah.
Is that the RNC also got hacked along with the DNC, yet somehow alt-right nationalist rapist association, the WikiLeaks.
Freedom Fighters. Freedom Fighter WikiLeaks.
Yeah, I mean, you can call them what you want. They did not release any of the Republican stuff. And as you were pointing out before we started this, anything with emails gets conflated with Hillary's emails and the email server. So just talking about this still.
We are not talking about Hillary Clinton. I want to make that perfectly clear. Yes, she is related to it, but that's the same way, like, we're all related to this because we all use email. Yeah. It's not the same thing.
This was a soft power thing the Russians did. They've been doing it in the Eastern Bloc. We've been doing it. We usually do it with hard power.
Yeah, we're great.
We don't really hack. We're not into that.
We don't hack the planet.
We don't do promos. We do matches, okay? When Americans do it, you know it.
So I think the only way to make this clear of what we're talking about is to give it a real name. And this is my biggest disappointment. Not who's the president, not what Russia did, not what we did with Russia. This has got the inappropriate name. This is just email scandal part whatever. That's not a good
name. Doesn't work.
The name for this is obvious. It's the Moscow Screwjob.
Yeah, it's a perfect name, referencing the Montreal Screwjob. Look it up. Listen to Radiolab. I think we've talked about it a lot.
Come on, mainstream, lamestream media. Hire some wrestling historians if you want to get the good presidential politics scoops. It's called the Moscow Screwjob.
And to paraphrase Vince, we should always remember, this comes back to, it was a perfect storm. No matter what the Russians did, the leaks of the DNC emails and the conflating of it was just happened in the press. So this isn't even saying that they hacked voting machines, right?
This is just the email hacks. The screw job all happened backstage. What you witnessed in the arena did happen. There's no going back. Brett does no longer have the title.
Yeah.
It's about we're in the attitude era, guys.
But it's also the fact that this was just one of the many tiny mistakes or misjudgments that added up. And to paraphrase Vince, you know, Putin didn't screw Hillary. Hillary screwed Hillary.
Yeah, exactly. So that moves us directly to our next story.
One of Putin's BFFs. He actually has an order of friendship from the Russians. Rex Tillerson, possibly our next Secretary of State, a former head of Exxon, those good corporate actors. Can't even get through this shit anymore.
Is JBL is going to be Secretary of State, guys. We did it.
Yeah, and it's a huge problem. I mean, it's just as bad as we thought a Trump presidency would be. I guess at this point, when you're looking for silver linings, at least it's not Giuliani.
Yeah, I guess that's...
I mean, that's the degrees we have to judge things on now.
It's like, well, at least after the Attitude Era, we got away from blading, so I guess more kids could watch. I guess that made it a slightly better product.
Yeah, and we're going to definitely, with this guy, have some ruthless aggression, just not to the Russians, which is fine. But
we're going to war with China, aren't we?
Yeah.
This is going to be horrible.
Yeah, it's real bad.
Especially because WWE's trying to expand. Come on, guys.
Yeah.
Our small business czar is not going to like this.
But I mean, I think maintaining and a concept which I don't think we've talked about, which I'm starting to think is describing this. So as we've looked at the entire campaign and since Trump announced by claiming Mexicans are rapists that he's being a heel, and we've talked about that every time. That's the premise. The thing with the heel is, yeah, he eventually gets his comeuppance from the baby face. Hillary did not prove to be a good enough baby face, and we have to wait 4 years to get another baby face. But there's also another concept here. With the heel, you get heat. That's the reaction from the crowd. There's also X-Pac heat. X-Pac was a wrestler in the 90s and 2000s. Sean Waltman. He was in WWF, WCW, back to WWF, right around the when shots were being fired in the Monday Night Wars. He was in the NWO. He was in D-Generation X. He's part of the clique. He's an important figure, kind of a mid-card guy, but at the X-Pac heat thing was that at a certain point, like 99, 2000, somewhere in there, I think, he's not getting booed because he's a heel, and that's the reaction that they're scripting. He's getting booed because people are like, you've been pushing this guy for so long. He's in the same role. We're tired of it. Get him off my TV. It's called, like, go-home heat, you know, X-Pac heat. And until Trump gets that of where Republicans can actually stand up because they know it's in their interest because he's got that kind of heat, none of this is going to change.
So this is completely your theory. I think it's brilliant. This is the kind of theory that you have to have some knowledge of wrestling to really understand it. You have more knowledge of wrestling than me. So do you think it's possible for Trump to get X-Pac heat? Because the difference between X-Pac and Trump is Trump is a larger-than-life figure.
Mm-hmm.
We've compared him to Ric Flair. We've compared him to Vince McMahon. We've compared him to himself. You just said mid-card for X-Pac. So Is it possible for the top guy to jump down to the mid-card and then get X-Pac heat? Has that happened before?
That I don't know. You know, even TV Tropes has covered this X-Pac heat thing. It's not just a wrestling thing. It's gone bigger than that. The closest we have right now is like Roman Reigns, who I think he probably passed the worst of it. But at the peak of him getting booed for being Roman Reigns and for getting pushed, that was the closest thing we've had to X-Pac heat. And yeah, now he's back challenging for the belt, and he's going to be pretty close to the top of the card. But they've kind of recalibrated a little bit. But that's that in fake sports, that's something they can do. There's not going to be, you know, that would suggest that Trump would recalibrate, and there's no...
And I don't see that happening.
No.
Okay.
This is why I'm saying if it would be from, you know, the audience in this would be the GOP who are covering for the fact that Russians interfered in our election.
Here's the issue with that. You're doing this in the popular vote, in popularity, and that's what wrestling is done with. And Trump's already going to get into office with a lower popularity than any incoming president ever.
Right.
So how could you go much lower?
Well, it's just the fact that if they start to see... He had low popularity, but he was against someone also with low popularity. And when they start seeing maybe that there's any blowback on them, we'll see if there actually is. We'll see in 2 years. That's probably going to be the first thing. We're going to see if people protest or see if they're getting red paint thrown on them or whatever. But, you know, until there's a...
Hold on, I need to make this horrible joke. Are people going to get red paint thrown on them because they're Team SmackDown and there's just so much brand loyalty?
Yeah, blue paint if they're Team Raw. It's going to get very confusing.
I need to lighten this up.
Yeah, so until he's getting the wrong type of heat, right now he's still getting good enough heat. I mean, there's been a little backlash. He's not even in office yet, so we don't know what that's going
to
look like.
Is it fair to say he's faced a few roadblocks?
Wow.
We'll get to that later.
Yeah, so
This is this is a beautiful, brilliant theory that I think we should revisit time and time again, because I think I'm going to go out on a limb here and say you're the first writer that has come out with said Trump equals X-Pac. That's going to be your calling card, maybe.
We'll see. You know, and X-Pac, like I said, he is actually, it's funny that that's maybe will be the thing he's known for most, other than maybe beating Razor Ramon when he was a jobber, or I don't know, having a sex tape with China and being physically abusive.
Yeah, so you guys might know X-Pac in the cultural world if you're not super into wrestling. He looks like a stereotype of a bad wrestler, like a bad man.
A bad person, like a real scumbag.
So he had a sex tape with China, a former real-life BFF of Triple H.
Yeah.
Possibly dated?
Oh, they definitely did.
Okay.
Yeah.
And China came out later, years later, saying that it was not a consensual sex tape, and there was this weird, unfortunate back and forth on Opie and Anthony. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
And then she died a few years later, and it was never really resolved.
Yeah.
So that's X-Pac, everybody.
That's X-Pac. And also, X-Pac, good friend of Triple H in the Click, the backstage group that ran wrestling for the 90s in both companies. Speaking of Opie and Anthony, there was an interview clip from 2008 that surfaced this week, and I don't know if you know, I mean, Deadspin wrote it up and stuff. I had heard it. It surfaced because the Laps fan was talking about
so
it.
So the Laps fan, if you're listening to this, you should definitely, and you like wrestling, you should be listening to the Laps fan. It's my favorite show that's not about current wrestling in any way. And they helped out with the book. We don't even plug the book at the show, so we've been talking like people know we have a book. Right. We have a book, and it's about this stuff. It's called The Donald, How Trump Turned Presidential Politics into Pro Wrestling. So when we're talking about all these sources, we've done a lot of research on it. And this goes back to the Slate article. If you're wondering about our sources, there's about a 20-page bibliography in the book. So it's all right there.
Buy the book, $9.99, you marks. So the thing with Triple H, it was an interview where he was talking to Obi and Anthony, and I think it was Sam Roberts who asked him.
It was Sam Roberts. That
is
correct.
Who will be hosting the pre-show at Roadblock. So he asked him facetiously, like, what did you think when Vince's car exploded? Because in 2007, they ran a storyline where Vince gets in his limousine, it explodes. They, like, very shortly after, Chris Benoit in real life killed his family and himself, and they quickly moved on from that storyline. But Triple H plays it off of, like, yeah, it was really, we can just play the clip.
How worried were you when you thought Vince McMahon was dead?
Oh, man, I was scared to death. If I hadn't seen them pre-tape it where he got in and out of the car,
Of course, you're talking about the limo explosion. When we saw that.
What kills me is so many people call. I mean, the office the next day, like, people, I'm not kidding you, like, and they'd probably be mad at me for saying it, but, like, Trump called and was like, did something happen to Vince?
Did Trump not understand that was a skit?
It's the magic of television, you know what I mean?
So this blew up the internet, and this blew up sports internet. This was on Deadspin, like Chris said, and that means normal people see it, not just wrestling fans like us.
No.
Quote-unquote normal people. I like to call them uninformed sheeple, whatever. So my coworker, he was like, hey, there's a wrestling story. It's real old. And I was like, yeah, I know. He's like, Trump doesn't know. It's like, well, here's the thing. There's two things going on with this. That storyline wasn't about wrestling. It was about wrestling, but it was not in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
It was a limousine blew up. That's what happened. Okay. So if you hear, like, hey, did you see what happened on the TV thing and the guy blew up, and you know the guy, but you haven't seen the guy, you'd be like, what? So it's real. I'm giving Trump the benefit of the doubt here that he understood that Vince McMahon was not actually dead.
I am mostly thinking it was just Triple H being a really good carny.
And I completely agree with you. Yeah. And I think for both ways, this comes off even better, because Trump clearly either didn't hear about Triple H's interview in 2008, because a year later he was back on Raw.
Right.
Or he knew, oh, that's best for business.
Yeah. And the thing, too, with Triple H is on Opie and Anthony. I mean, they're like proto-trolls. And he's also, in this interview, talks about how when they filmed this infamous Katie Vick storyline, where this is really long and complicated, basically Triple H is pretending to have sex with a corpse in a funeral home, and he tells the story that there was a funeral going on next door, and Vince is like make more noise, have a louder sex with the corpse. And like, none of that happened, right? They filmed it behind the, you know, at the arena. So, I mean, the whole interview, don't work yourselves into a shoot, you marks, okay? But yeah, maybe it is still real to him, damn it.
Speaking of real friends, Donald Trump met up with, I consider, the most important artist of the 21st century thus far, Kanye yes. West. Now,
agreed.
This was on the morning of Tuesday. It is currently Wednesday night. And Kanye took to Twitter and tweeted out a few things, the first of which was a big disappointment to me, which was Kanye 2024. Mm-hmm. Now, the night after Trump's victory, he tweeted out Kanye 2020. I do not like seeing Kanye West conceding 4 years. I don't think he's going to run twice. It's a one-and-done situation with Ye. Anyways, yeah. So that was disappointing. Number two, he said, I want to meet with the future president because I want to fix things. I want to fix things like bullying. Chicago, bullying, etc. And no one knows how to react to this.
No, they know how to react just the same way they've been reacting to Kanye for 10 years, the same way they've been reacting to Trump for a year and a half, which is just feeding the troll. Kanye's been doing this since Katrina, since the VMAs with Taylor Swift that made Taylor Swift a celebrity, I maintain.
No, no, you're right.
He does this constantly. Every time he does a rant, every music publication writes it up. Everyone talks about it. Everyone talks about whether you can say anything about Kanye, whether it's his mental health. Everyone's talking about Kanye. This is a list of the year, you know, album of the year, song of the year season. You know, Kanye's back in the news. It's pretty simple to see what he's doing. And is it disappointing to his fans? I could see why.
Yes. But if you are paying attention, if you're a real fan, you get it. Yeah. To me, I like to think I'm a real fan. I like to think I'm a real friend. I like right. to. I think I understand what this man's going through. That being said, I have read some well-written pieces about race and how Kanye relates to Trump and mm-hmm. whiteness, and I have zero right to say anything about that.
There's a very good piece on Very Smart Brothers about the
exactly.
whiteness issue.
That's what
the
I'm
Ringer one
to.
Is pretty good, too. And yeah.
So I can't say, like, oh, Kanye's still just a brilliant man. But I can say he's a genuine man mm-hmm. based on everything we've read about him, both pro and con, everything we've seen him do. And I would just like to point out two things. Number one, Kanye is the first person to have ties to three consecutive presidents and probably make all of them mad.
Yes.
George Bush said that was his biggest disappointment of his presidency.
You mean the presidency and the 9/11 happened?
Yeah, that was the thing. On multiple occasions, Obama spoke against Kanye yeah. before he was a president and while he was president.
Did he call him like a buffoon? What do you call him?
He's acting a fool.
Acting a fool?
Something right. to that effect. And then clearly he's going to piss off Trump again because that's what he does.
Yeah.
He's great.
Yeah.
He's amazing.
Yeah, and if you needed more of a wrestling connection to
that
get
that was
Kanye,
point two.
To
get, here we go.
Well, we got. I actually have two things. One thing in the outline, and one not. Your True Detective yarn map is that Trump was the Battle of the Billionaires with Trump and McMahon was
23
was WrestleMania 23, WrestleMania 24 hosted by Kim Kardashian West, then Kim Kardashian.
I really hope that they work on their marriage and all these other rumors are not true because I don't think that's cool. And that's all. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah. And
I know Kim is listening.
Yeah. Well, Kim and Kanye, we got your back. Corey Graves, announcer on Raw. I just wanted to include this because it's a weird little bit that kind of made it in to the commentary.
Gentlemen, if I'm being perfectly honest, it seems to me like Rollins is doing less reporting and more wedge driving between Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho.
That's fine by me.
You're detestable, Saxton. If you ever had a friend in the world, you would understand this is a tragedy.
It's a state of the media these days, all right? It's the in thing to do.
Byron, I bet you believe Kanye's mental breakdown was real too, right?
Well, fake news.
So yeah, don't get worked. And this was before, that was Monday night, before Kanye met with Trump, so it was pretty prescient. Kind of like when people started selling Lockheed Martin before Trump tweeted about it. But anyway, Kanye, 2024 possibly. 2020, we will have a different wrestler running for office. And that'll be Booker
King
T.
King Booker!
Five-time Booker T. Huffman running for mayor of Houston.
So Booker T. is great. Yeah. He is one of the he's got my favorite Triple H match at WrestleMania. Could we go over this really quickly?
Yeah, the fact that so the
match itself yeah. is great. Don't worry about it.
Right,
don't even watch the match. Just know who wins in the video package. You could take it from here.
Yeah, basically the whole story of it was this is Triple H in his like trying to be Flair, Harley Race 80s heel thing, and Booker T, who's black, he said that people like you don't get to be champion, which is clear what he meant. King was very heel at this point, and he would always talk about how about Booker T's real life criminal past. He robbed a Wendy's when he was like in his teens to feed his family.
He went to jail.
Yeah, he went to jail. He had a rough past. It's public knowledge, but they made this the whole storyline, and Triple H was being the biggest heel, being overtly racist against this guy, and wrestling logic would determine that that Triple H would have gotten his comeuppance. And yes, people like you, people who have made mistakes, people who are black, anybody can be a champion in the WWE and in America, but no, Triple H won.
Booker T's running for governor of Texas or mayor of Houston?
Mayor of Houston.
Mayor of Houston. I apologize instantly.
No, it was one line.
Could see it right here in the outline. Booker T's running for mayor of Houston. I mean, at least that's what he tweeted.
Yeah.
And based on Twitter, everything that has ever been tweeted has turned out to be true. So
that checks out, guys.
He's going to run. Renee Young is talking about it openly on WWE programming.
Yeah.
I'm excited for that.
I'm excited for it. You know, it gets that pipeline, gets that bench going in a state that could be purple one day.
Is Booker a Dem?
Yeah.
Says who?
I did.
Oh, okay. speaking of
black excellence.
There we go.
Yes.
So the New Day has overtaken Demolition's pointless tag team streak. Pointless because I fucking hate Demolition. That's
why. Also pointless because records in a fake sport don't matter.
It does
As you point out to me every time with the not streak.
Well, that doesn't make sense because that's not how streaks works. But no, yeah. But I disagree that these things do matter. That means you were popular enough at a company.
No, yes, yeah.
So that means something.
Right.
The New Day are the longest reigning tag team champions in WWE history, probably because Demolition's currently suing them. But whatever, that's not their here nor there.
They've been, just because they've been spinning their wheels for 4 months just to get past this pointless record doesn't mean anything. But New Day did have an excellent Monday night where they open and close the show. They defeated in two triple threat matches, so it's a lot of guys in the ring, but they beat two top tag teams and four of the company's biggest stars.
It was a great
and
night.
And they
for
did
Monday
it clean,
Raw.
And it was...
If you haven't watched wrestling in a long time and you want to watch a random episode, this is a good one to
yeah,
just
90
watch.
Minute Raw. Raw was actually better than SmackDown this week, which we'll get to. But Raw was really solid, thanks to putting New Day on TV twice and getting Big E to make third leg jokes, which was amazing.
It's so good.
At the 8 o'clock hour, by the way. They didn't even wait for the watershed.
So the first segment is they win. It's like two or three segments. It's like the first 30 to 40 minutes. It's a very long match. It's great.
Yeah.
And then there's a celebration backstage, and they have tarps up like it's a championship team about to celebrate, and there's champagne, and there's a big bowl of Bootios and lots of jobbers and like NXT people. So there's clearly going to be champagne sprayed everywhere. So this bothers me. And I know I'm splitting
the internal
hairs
logic here.
Stephanie McMahon is like giving essentially the toast, and then she gets sprayed with champagne and gets real upset at New Day. Why are you know that there's literally tarps have on the thing?
Yeah, it's Chekhov's champagne.
Come
on, it's gonna happen. So that sets up that second match where, you know, a great 2/3 of the Shield. Team Chris and Kevin, it was a great night. And if you watch the 90 minute one, it's a pretty solid show.
It was great. And then last night, transitioning to SmackDown really quick. New Day was there because it was tribute for the troops.
Yes.
So they were all at the Verizon Center, and that means Rich Swann was also there.
Yeah.
And that means Sasha Banks was also there. Rich Swann has the current cruiserweight belt.
Do you say that like Rich, like
Rich? Rich Swann.
I thought you were saying like Schwann, like a swing or
no.
Okay.
Rich Baltimore Swann. Is he Baltimore?
Yes, he is. The outlandish Rich Swann.
He's great.
That's their crappy name for him.
And
but
then
whatever.
The boss, Sasha Banks. And the reason why this is important is because for the first time in a very long time, all five of them were together. And Kofi, it was a Big E.
Big E tweeted a picture of them. They're all black. And he tweeted black excellence, them all with their belts. A nice, classy, like black and white photo where the belts are in color. And of course, there was a backlash.
Of course.
Because it's America. Not because it's wrestling, I want to say. Because it's America.
Yeah, we have a proud tradition of this, guys.
Yeah,
it's not just wrestling.
We're pretty good at it. Yeah, so there was a backlash, which was inevitable. But Kofi Kingston, the elder statesman of the group, had a really thoughtful response because he's great. And I'm just going to read some of it, is that excellence is not the same as supremacy. Black excellence is not meant to be divisive, for even if you do not fall into that specific category, you can still take enjoyment in our pride, because in the biggest picture, in a society that often focuses on the negative aspects of race relations, what has transpired with the five of us speaks positively to the progress we've made as a nation. And that's a nice sentiment to share, you know, publicly, since they often stay away from politics,
yeah,
to step in it in this way. And I mean, when we're talking about these like fake sports where the ending's determined, like having black tag team champions being the longest, have a female black superstar, have a black cruiserweight, have two Japanese superstars, to have a Samoan U.S. champion, to have swamp people tag team champions. No, but seriously, no, I mean, it's actually the most, when you look at their championship picture and the people who are running the company, I mean, the faces of the company, it's actually more progressive because they're a business. They get it.
So backstage, all white. All white. But if you want to sell the product, you can't be all white.
Yeah. You have to appeal, and that's why they generally haven't mentioned Donald Trump in programming.
Speaking of mentioning Donald Trump, John Cena hosted Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, he was great.
He was great.
It was not a great episode, I will say.
It was a fine episode. Yeah. I'd give it like a 6 out of 10.
Okay.
Because, you know, I've made a lot of SNL, so I
that's
have the
good
right to judge.
Yeah, you should.
It wasn't as good as last year's episode starring The Rock, but he's The Rock.
Yeah.
And number two, I wrote about this, people don't know how to deal with John Cena. John Cena is always laughed at. He's always a muscly sideshow. He is a muscly sideshow. He understands that. But he's also an actor that doesn't suck.
Mm-hmm.
He also has granted the most make-a-wishes ever.
Yeah.
And he's kind of progressive on politics and cut an ad council spot that's going to be nominated for an Emmy. And he's spoken out against Donald Trump's xenophobia. So what do? Hey, he's a big muscly guy. That's it. And I get that.
And that was the bit every time, except for one, where it was still muscly, but it wasn't that he was just going to punch you in the face.
So few things about this I want to talk about. This is not on YouTube. This is not one of the featured sketches.
Right. It's on Hulu.
It's on Hulu.
On the internet.
Yes.
But yes.
This is the one that is in the last half hour of it. Mm-hmm. And it's the surreal sketch where how Donald Trump views the world. He views it through the eyes of Donald Trump as John Cena, essentially. So John Cena plays zero lines. So you will not be hearing anything from this clip because John Cena does not say anything.
Right. It's all the whole thing is shot in this gauzy first person perspective until he gets to a mirror. And Trump sees himself as John Cena, and then John Cena comes down from the stairs and dances with Trump as John Cena. So it is really surreal.
It's my favorite sketch on that show of the year.
Yeah, and it was the only episode they didn't use Baldwin for whatever reason. And so that's one of those we'll never know. But the one thing that they had, we were theorizing before, how Cena and Trump would work together, that's how it worked. And on Monday Night Raw, when it was live, here's what Michael Cole had to say.
John was great, and I tell you, I love when he played Donald Trump's mirror.
Cena was awesome. But...
And you had to tell me about this because I did not watch live, and I watched the 90-minute Hulu version. So I know the clip that we just played, clearly, I heard it, but I didn't hear it while watching the show. And it's not like they just cut that segment up because it's 90-minute Raw. No. That segment is in the show. They literally cut that line.
I think, to be the devil's advocate, is that they cut right to when the action started. They skipped all the entrances, but they clearly cut it because it says Trump.
So that was, I was so, so excited.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Anyway, we were really excited this week, though, because as we said last night, we went to SmackDown and Tribute to the Troops. They were both taped. So like you said, Tribute to the Troops airs tonight on USA on Wednesday. This will be up after that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But there was a couple interesting things. So SmackDown was just,
another
good SmackDown with a good main event. Luke Harper was great. And then Tribute to the Troops, which is usually a throwaway show, was actually like a really good episode of like a condensed episode of Raw.
No, it was like a condensed pay-per-view because you got both brands.
That's true.
This was better than a condensed Raw. This was better than most condensed pay-per-views. This was everything I love about wrestling, mostly because it wasn't wrestling.
Explain.
The show opens with a general doing general bullshit.
Military bullshit because general bullshit.
I know, but I'm trying not to like just shit all over the military here. But he's essentially doing propaganda for the troops. That being said, I'm at a show called Tribute to the Troops. I get it. Like,
right.
That's what he's supposed to be doing. He's like, he's essentially doing what McCain did on Monday Night Raw in 2008. We're going to give Osama bin Laden the tombstone. I'm going to introduce him to The Undertaker. But he tries to put over finishing moves. One of them, he kind of gets a pop. And then the second one, Chris and I had no idea what he was referencing.
And he said Cruise Missile or Cruise Control, which is, I think, Apollo Crews' theme song.
Oh, sure.
You'd have to know that. You'd have to, like, know
which
the
I
theme
don't.
Songs are named. Yeah,
and then
insane.
The last one, the final one, which was great. He tries to put over Roman Reigns' Superman punch, and me and you and all the other smarks start booing a general.
We booed a general who wanted to punch ISIS because we don't like the guy because Roman Reigns has Xbox heat.
So our
play along, guys.
Our friend Jen was with us, and she just screamed, "I get it! ISIS is the heel."
See? It works. It works.
So
yeah.
that's one of the first three things I want to mention. The second thing I want to mention is Randy Orton was in a tag team match.
It was two tag teams. They had three people each.
So it was American
Six
Alpha.
Six-man tag, yes.
And Dolph Ziggler.
Yes.
American Alpha, once again, and Dolph Ziggler versus the Wyatt family.
Mm-hmm. The Swamp People.
The Wyatt family currently features actual former soldier Randy Orton, who went AWOL and was dishonorably discharged. Guess who was the most popular guy in that match?
Randy Orton
was. The crowd is chanting RKO multiple times in this 10 to 15 minute match. It's a pretty good match. The finisher is great.
Yeah.
And Randy Orton pins one of the guys from American Alpha. American Alpha, which has American in the title, one of the guys actually competed in the Olympics. Randy Orton went over.
Yeah.
The tribute for the troops.
Yeah. I will say, once again, devil's advocate, American Alpha were a late addition to that team, but that was supposed to be Hype Bros, who there was an injury and stuff. So it is unfortunate, but hilarious, because it's also the only heels that went over all night was the team named American Alpha is the one that lost. So that was pretty great.
And then finally, he opened the show with a Roman Reigns plug. We got to end the show with some Roman Reigns. It was another tag team of a match. This time, exactly what you'd expect, Roman Reigns and Enzo and Cass.
Yeah.
You know,
real
America.
Americans. Yeah.
Versus Rusev and Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens, he was definitely way more over than Roman Reigns. He kept bringing up how he's not from this country. It was so great. I loved every minute of it. And then, of course, Rusev and Putin, whatever.
Yeah. Kevin Owens and Putin lost. And it was the fact the show was like, actually in continuity, because Cesaro and Sheamus won their number one contenders again. They're probably win the belts from New Day on Sunday now that they've broken the record. The Miz in a segment with Gabriel Iglesias lost to Apollo Crews. The tag match we talked about. Bayley called Dana Brooke a service dog, basically.
And they had an actual service dog there.
Yeah, she beat Dana Brooke. There was a cruiserweight six-man that was really good. There was a backstage segment, which is probably like the best, and the thing I marked out for the most was when you had the New Day celebrating, and then the club, the original version of it, AJ and the Luke Gallows and Anderson, the Bullet Club guys. And they're talking about who's the better three-man team, and then the reunited Shield comes out. Fortunately, they didn't follow up on that. But it was a great moment. Thank you, troops. Thanks for making that happen. Thank you, WWE. It's once again, it's another week where there's a pay-per-view. I think didn't we just have one?
We had one not this Sunday, but the Sunday previous.
Yeah, well, this is, it's insane.
It's Roadblock. Something.
It's Roadblock, end of the line, because there was actually a Roadblock event earlier this year.
On
the road to WrestleMania. It's no longer, it's on the road. But that's probably not even the biggest event of this week in the world of wrestling.
No, nor is it tribute to the troops, which I genuinely recommend.
Yeah, no, I mean,
it was so fun.
Yeah. If it's
on
TV.
I mean, if you like laughing at patriotism, it's the best show of the year.
Yeah. I think that the thing with the general, that was to pop the crowd, and it didn't work, but that's not going on TV.
I really hope that's not on TV. I know, but part of me is like, please have a crowd boo a general.
Vince is like, no, cut that guy. Fuck him. No, so the biggest event this week, which we talk about once in a while, is Total Nonstop Deletion, not Total Nonstop Action. It's a full episode of TNA Impact, Pop, whatever they call their show, but shot exclusively at the Hardy Compound. Where Broken Matt Hardy will continue to just deliver the most bonkers, whacked out wrestling.
It's the highlight of 2016 wrestling, period.
Yeah.
I'd say number two is Jericho's list, or Jericho in
Jericho
general.
In general, yes.
And then three would probably be the women's stuff.
Yeah.
The women's stuff, the Jesus.
Did you know there was a women's revolution? Some people say that Stephanie McMahon started it. I say Ivanka Trump started it.
So the reason why we're even talking about total nonstop deletion, it has nothing to do with Billy Corgan, and it has nothing to do with TNA. It has something to do with maybe brand integration.
Well, we'll see what this is. But basically, Matt Hardy, he's at TNA. He works other promotions. But he tweeted that I'm going to do it in the broken Matt Hardy voice as much as I can, too. I formally invite Mick Mahan's SD Live champs, the family of Wyatts, to hashtag total nonstop deletion. Our universes must collide. Hashtag apocalypto. And Bray Wyatt, in his kayfabe Twitter account, went, you know where to find us.
And there was an image of a chair in a silhouette.
Yeah. So, then
just like to point out, Bray Wyatt had to do local Fox DC news the night before.
You know, and he's good at that stuff because he breaks it just enough, but he's still like, I wouldn't want to mess with this guy with the red dreads and the swamp beard. But yeah, Brother Nero, Broken Matt Hardy said he's going to come there to make this mandated war happen. We will. We are destined to collide, family of Wyatts. I mean, there's been discussion of possibly when his contract or whatever is up, or when TNA's checks finally bounce for them, that they could come back. They brought the Headbangers back. I think they would bring back the one of the most popular tag teams of all time. So let's see if that happens. Maybe if total nonstop deletion like deletes TNA, there's still hope, guys.
So 2016, we're not just going to delete TNA, we're going to delete the nation. Is that how we end this thing?
This thing, yeah, the nation.